We continue our learning. We are in Adios, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Beis. Behema Shenolda B'Yom Tov. Hakol Modim Shehimu Teres. This is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. We spoke about Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov, the concept of Nolad. Something is born on Yom Tov. Something is a new entity that's created on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah here says, if I have not an egg that's laid on Yom Tov, but a Behema that's born on Yom Tov, then everyone permits it. As we said in the previous Mishnah, we said Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov. Beis Shammai says, Teochel, you're able to eat it. And Beis Hillel says, you're not allowed to eat it. But here, we speaking of a Behema Shenolda B'Yom Tov, everyone agrees that that animal, one is permitted to eat. Why is that so? Because an animal is different than an egg. When it comes to the animal, so we say, well, first of all, the mother obviously has to be where it's omedes la'achila. The mother is potentially able to shecht as well. But that was when it came to the egg too, that the mother was omedes la'achila. So, but here it's more so. The mother is considered muchana, prepared and ready from Erev Yom Tov to shecht it and eat it on Yom Tov. So that's true not only of the mother, that's true of the feet of the fetus as well, the ubar as well. Because a person, why do I assume that that's different than an egg? Because if you shecht an animal and you find an ubar inside, you're able to eat it without shechita. The egg, however, as we said, according to Beis Hillel, even if it's coming from a mother who's muchana, we don't assume the egg is muchan. The egg is considered muktza. It's something that was completed yesterday. There was no hachana for the egg, and therefore the egg is in a different category than the animal. Of course, Beis Shammai says it the same way Beis Shammai allows over here that we were able to eat the animal. Beis Shammai allowed Teochel, you can eat the egg as well, because if the mother is Muchana La'achila, so the egg is as well. And Beis Hillel said, no, we view the egg differently than the animal. Then the Mishnah says, Ve'efroach sheyotza min ha'beitza hakol modim shehu aser. But let's say you have a chick that came out of an egg that was born on Yom Tov. So everyone agrees that that chick is aser. That is considered muktzah. And here, Beis Shammai would agree to this. Although Beis Shammai is lenient when it comes to the egg, Beis Shammai would not allow the chick. Why is that so? Here we don't say it's muchana agavima. We see it's not muchana. It's not prepared along with secondary to the mother, because since it was in its klipa, it was in the shell on Erev Yom Tov. So then we don't consider, it's not in the same category as an animal that gives birth. A chick is going to be different because it's within the shell. Then the Mishnah says hashochet chaya va'ov b'yom tov. This is also in Maseches Beitza. Beis Shammai omrim yachbor badeker v'chase. So we're speaking about the mitzvah of kisei hadam, the mitzvah when it comes to shechting a chaya, a wild animal like a deer, a kosher wild animal, or an oaf, or a bird. We have to, as opposed to a behemoth domesticated animal, we do not do kisei hadam. We don't have to cover the blood, but we do cover the blood with dirt, sawdust, whatever it may be, for the mitzvah of kisei hadam when it comes to shechting a chaya or an oaf. So you're allowed to shecht a chaya and oaf on Yom Tov. So what's the story with kisei hadam? So Beis Shammai says, what you're permitted to do is, literally the light Mishnah says, you're able to dig with the shovel into the ground and use that dirt and cover the blood. Now the Gemara explains it's not really what Beis Shammai means. Beis Shammai says, if you have what we call a deker na utzmi ba'od yom, if there was already a shovel in the ground before Yom Tov starts, you don't have to do the malacha of digging or kasisha, which is grinding if the hard earth is very hard. So all you have to do is pull out the shovel from the ground to take out the dirt, then you can use that for kisei hadam, and we permit the person to do the shechita in, and then follow it with the kisei hadam. But the Mishnah speaking about, the Gemara says, is that someone comes to the basin, comes to the rabbi and says, oh, you know, I'd like to shecht a bird or a chaya on Yom Tov, can I do so? And so the posek is going to say to the person, well, tell me, do you have a shovel in the ground already? Then you pick up that shovel with the dirt that's on it to cover the blood. No. The rabbi would tell you, no, don't shech your chaya or your oaf on Yom Tov, unless you had dirt that was set aside. Beis Hillel is strict. One of the examples here of Beis Hillel being strict, as we said, with Beis Hillel says that, you know, we would tell him, don't shech at all, because you wouldn't be able to do kisei hadam if you didn't set aside dirt from before. Even if the shovel's in the ground already, and you don't have to grind up or do any digging, just picking up the shovel with the dirt, even Beis Hillel doesn't allow that. And therefore, he says, we tell you not to shecht, unless you had dirt that was set aside beforehand. Umodim, but Beis Hillel admits to Beis Shammai, Shem Shachat, but let's say after the fact, meaning you didn't ask a shayla, you shechted your animal on your Yechaya of Arnyanta, you realize after the Kisei Adam, but you didn't set aside any dirt. Then Beis Hillel would admit to Beis Shammai, Bidi'evet, after the fact, Sheyachbor Badekar Bichase. If you have a shovel that's already in the ground, then you can pick that up and cover the blood. But to actually dig in the ground, Beis Hillel would not allow such a thing. And then the Mishnah concludes with the following statement, which is somewhat related, but not exactly, She'efer Kira Muchan Hu. The ashes of the Kira of the stove are considered Muchan. What are we speaking about? So let's say a person wants to do Kisei Hadam, but he doesn't have that dirt that was set aside. So we assume if there are ashes inside the stove, inside the oven, that's considered Muchan. You didn't set it aside specifically for this purpose. Now, Beis Hillel would allow such a thing. If it's you had burned something, cooked something, Erev Yontif, let's say, and the ashes sitting in the oven, sitting in the fireplace, those ashes are considered Muchan. They're not Muktzah, and therefore they can be used for Kisui Hadam. We assume that a person's mind is on those ashes to use them on Yom Tov, and therefore he can move them and cover the blood with them of a Chayanof that were shechted on Yom Tov. But that's all true with the ashes that was there Erev Yontif. But if there are ashes that were created because of cooking you did on Yom Tov, that afer is considered, and it cooled off, that afer is considered nolad. It's a new entity, something created on Yom Tov, that would be completely muksa to use. Unless the ashes are still hot. If the ashes are still hot, that's no different than, let's say, firewood that you're set aside, that you're using on Yom Tov, which is okay in order to cook, in order to bake. So if it's still what we call remetz chan, the ashes are still very hot, so then, and enough that you could roast an egg, so then we say, well, since you can use you're able to use the ashes for ochel nefesh purposes, for, let's say, roasting an egg, so I'm allowed to use those hot ashes, the kisui hadam, as well. That's with respect to ashes that were created on Yom Tov, only if they're hot can you use them. If they're cooled off, then you can't. Only if they're there from Erev Yom Tov, we assume that they are muchan. Perek Dalet Mishnah Gimel. This is a halacha regarding hefker in general, giving gifts to the poor, as we'll see. Shichacha, where we forget, we learn in Maseches Zroim, Seder Zroim, Maseches Peah, we spoke about Leket Shichacha and Peah. We speak about Shichacha, where you forget some of the sheaves in the field, you have to leave with the anim. So Beis Shammai says like this, Beis Shammai omim hevker la'anim hevker. The word hevker is like hevker. We often interchange the fey and the vase. So here too, hevker just means, with a vase, means hevker with a fey. Hevker means ownerless. So Beis Shammai is coming to be mechadish the following leniency, as we see. Beis Shammai is lenient in these Mishnayos. He says, if a person is mafkir his grain for aniyim, meaning he's not leaving leket shecha and peah. Those are special gifts he's supposed to give. But he's a nice guy. In addition to all of that, he's taking some grain and he says, you know what, I want to declare that this pile of grain, this is going to be hefker for the aniyim. Now, hefker generally means it's ownerless, means everyone's allowed to eat it. Everyone's allowed to take it. Hefker automatically means it's for aniyim and ashirim. Here you have a person who is specifying that this is only considered hefker for aniyim. Is that considered hefker or not? So Beis Shammai says, yes, a person who's mafker is tavur for aniyim and not for ashirim. Ashirim can't take it. That is the status of hefker. Now, why it is important to have a status of hefker? So hefker is pater from maestros. I don't have to separate trumos and maestros from hefker. And Beis Shammai therefore says, even though it's not hefker for everybody, it's only hefker for aniyim, it's pater from maestros. What's this based on? So Yushalmi says, when it comes to leket and peah, the pasuk says, "Vayikra yutes leonir v'lager ta'azov osam." You're supposed to abandon them, leave them for the ani and the ger. What is ta'azov osam? So we learn from that phrase, the must be osam. There are several things that we're supposed to abandon, leave. That means there's something else besides the leket and the peah. There's another aziva. There's something else I'm supposed to abandon, or I can abandon, which is considered hefker, which means just like when it comes to leket and peah, when I abandon abandon them for the aniyim, they're patur from maisros, so too there's something else ta'azov osam, something else I'm able to abandon for aniyim specifically and not for ashirim, just like lekan and peyah, and that's hefker. Hefker, I could, if I leave it for the aniyim, I declared ownerless for aniyim, it's patur and maisros, even though I'm not making it completely hefker, I'm not making it ownerless for everybody. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. Beis Shammai, Eino hevker ache yuvkar af la'ashirim. A person who's mafkir something for just aniyim, for just poor people, that's not hefker at all. And therefore it would not be pater from masros. That's not considered hefker at all. Kashmita, and Basil says, you know what it has to be like? It has to be like Shemitah. Just when it comes to Shemitah, we read in the Torah, v'hashviyis tishmetena unetashta. And the Yerushalmi says, what do you mean tishmetena unetashta? I'm supposed to leave it for as to rest, and it's a Shemitah year, and Utashta, I have to abandon it. So what's Unetashta teach me? It's an extra word. Comes to teach us that there's another Nitisha. There's another Hefker, there's another abandoning, which we're assuming is not just Shemitah. Shemitah, we know the produce is Hefker, but there's another Nitisha. There's another time where you can abandon something, with, i.e. when you make something Hefker, which has to follow the status of Shviyas of the Shemitah year. Just like when it comes to the Shemitah year, the Tvua, the produce, are Hefker for everybody. Not only can aniyim take but ashirim as well, so too when it comes to being mafkir, declaring something hefker, it has to be hefker for aniyim and ashirim. So Beis Shammai once again says hefker for aniyim is considered hefker because we learn that from le'aniv la'ger ta'azovosam. Ta'azovosam comes to include hefker, that it's enough to make it hefker for aniyim and therefore it's hefker for them only, and it's patur min ha'maisros. And Beis says no, it's not hefker. Hefker can't be just for aniyim, it has to be for everybody, because has to follow Shemitah. Shemitah is Hefker for everybody, so too Hefker has to be Hefker for everybody, and if not, then it's not going to be Pot. If you make it Hefker just for Aniyim, it's not Potim and Trumos and Maestros. Then the Mishnah says, Kol Omre Hasada Shel Kav Kav Ve'echod Shel Arba'o Kabin Ushchacho Beis Shammai Omrim Eino Shichacha. Here we're speaking about the mitzvah shichacha of leaving something that we forgot, sheaves, the bundles that are forgotten in the field. So if you completely forgot about them, you're not permitted to go back for them. But there is an exception to that rule. It may depend on how much I actually left there. To understand this, we have to remind ourselves of the Mishnah in Peah, Perek Vav Mishnah Hey. There the Mishnah says that according to Beis Shammai, if you have four bundles together are not considered shichah. That's already too much. We don't expect you to leave all of that for aniyim. That's the rule. Four omrim, four sheaves together, four bundles together are not considered shichah. So Beis Shammai says, if that's true, that four bundles together are not shichacha, so then if you have, let's say in your field, a person's bundles were only the size of a kav. Kav is a sixth of a sa. We mentioned that measure in the past. All the bundles you have in the field are kav kav. That's what it is. Kol omrei hasadah shel kav kav. That's how big they are. That's the volume of each of the sheaves that you have. And the echad shel arba kavin. And then you add another bundle that was four times the size, four kav worth. And that happens to be the one that you forgot, ushchacho, and that large omer you forgot. So Beis Shammai omrim eino shichacha. You know why that's not shichacha? Because Beis Shammai says like this. If we learn in Peah that I hold that four omrim, four sheaves together is too much, it's not shichacha, I'm going to say that if you have those four sheaves together in the same volume, which means four omrim together, let's say so, that would be if your sada is, if the sheaves are all one kav, and this one in the middle amongst them is four kav, that would be like having four omrim, four sheaves in a row together. And therefore, Beis Shammai says, that large pile, that very large bundle is not considered shichacha, because it equals the amount, if you would separate it into four, you would have, it would have four kav in worth, four sheaves worth that in a row, and therefore it's not shichacha. So what's the difference if they're in a row, or they're piled all together in one pile? No, even though it's four times the size of the other sheaves that are there, it still has dinim shichcha. Because Beis Hillel says we don't say that we look at it as if it's separate. But Beis Hillel would agree According to the Rambam, this would agree, if, let's say, it were, according to Beis Hillel, if it were larger than four, then Beis Hillel would agree it's not shechel. So even Beis Hillel would agree that at some point, if it's such a large pile, it would be more than four times, Beis Hillel would allow such a thing, would say that it would not have a din of shechel. So once again, according to Beis Shammai, if you have one of the sheaves is four times the size of the others, each of the sheaves are a kav of the size each, and one is four, since four sheaves in a row would be considered of the regular size of what the sheaves that you have would not be considered shechel, and you would be able to go back, the owner could go back for them. So too in this case where it's in one pile, Beis Hillel disagrees, no, it still has the status of shechel.